Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, a show by gamers for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
And today, I think it's pretty much same old as usual.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, instead of going in all about that stuff.
It helps if you have a life.
Yeah. Let's talk about role-playing again.
Sure, why not?
This time, tabletop role-playing. Now, we've been doing this for, 40 years?
Yes.
Yeah. Because you first taught me and my buddy in elementary school how to play D&D in the late 70s.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we've been at it a while. And
haven't gotten any better.
No. I'd say we've gotten a little bit better than the Paladin. My very first Paladin.
I liked your Paladin.
Look, I rolled enough money to buy armor. And you had a stake trap outside the front door of the dungeon.
Yeah.
So I died walking up to the door.
It's not my fault.
Because all I could wear was a breastplate. Didn't help my bum. And the stake going up it. Thank you.
Well, it was the simple trap.
I was a paladin.
Yeah.
Paladins don't search for traps.
Yeah, but in so many other adventures, we had, the little stick where you go tap, 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 looking for traps.
I couldn't afford a stick!
Well, nature provides.
Like I said, we've gotten better over time. Now I would pick up a stick. I did pick up a stick, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Well, and paladins are usually stick up their ass anyway, so.
It was fitting. I was not happy, but whatever. Okay. Anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about today. What I wanted to talk about was specifically game systems. I've noticed that over especially the last few years, it's been going on in the last decade at least, you've had more and more role-playing games using homogenized multi-genre systems. And what I mean by that is, well, for example, Dungeons & Dragons. Used to be, when they started out, Dungeons & Dragons was its own system. Lots of people copied it in certain ways, but D&D was D&D. You had the setting, and sometimes they had different settings, but it was basically, you had the leveling system and these stats and whatnot. It was a unique system for first edition, then second edition AD&D. You had Thaco, all that awesome, great esoteric stuff that only people of D&D understood.
Masochists.
Well, yeah. But it was unique. And then you
definitely
had third edition come out, and especially 3.5, when Wizards of the Coast decided to release the open game license.
Mm-hmm.
And basically said, here's the core of our system. You can't use anything specific to D&D, but here's the core stats and the core rules. Basically the system underneath the setting. Use that. Make your own games. And people went nuts. There's literally hundreds of different games built off of the open game license, using basically the same stats, the same core rules, but just with different settings. And maybe the rules have been tweaked. That's where Pathfinder came from, for God's sakes. They're basically continued on 3.5 when Wizards of the Coast said, we're going to go make D&D 4.0.
Big mistake.
Yeah. D&D, the MMO. It didn't work. That's why we have 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons now. Which I refuse to buy. To be honest.
Well, how many books of each different set have you paid for?
Many.
That's
right. Between paid for and the ones mom handed down to me. Yeah. But yeah, from her set. But anyway, point is, lots and lots of money involved. And don't really want to spend that again. Now,
not for something that you may not even play.
May not even like. Especially when we're playing Pathfinder. You know, we're happy with 3.5. Why go to 5? You know, some people say, well, it's got improvements. Great. I'm not going to pay $50 minimum per book for a minimum of 3 books just to play. Sorry, but that's neither here nor there. Getting off on a tangent. Point is, yes, they still have the, I don't know if they're still doing open game license, but they still release the SRD, which is basically, here's the free portion of D&D that you can use to make your own games, make your own stuff, legally, and sell and whatnot. That's fine. They still release that. I don't know how many people are using the 5th edition SRD to make their own games or their own supplements to D&D. I expect it's a lot. There seems to be lots of third-party books out. But 3.5, that pretty much was the standard for that. And that multi-genre system, which it effectively is, basically has taken over a large part of role-playing. Why would people want to go and play a unique game like A Song of Ice and Fire, for example? They have a role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't recognize the name of the book series, A Song of Ice and Fire is what Game of Thrones is based off of. And it has, I've got some of the books, and it's got a perfectly good system. It's a perfectly good, unique system to that game. And I've been able to run it exactly 0 times because nobody's interested in playing that game. They like the setting. Don't really care for the system. Why should they play that when they can play Pathfinder? And this kind of bothers me. Because I'm wondering if this homogenization of role-playing, where people are moving on to basically all these multi-genre systems, if we're ever going to really see another big game out there that survives on its own unique system anymore.
Well, it's possible, but it's got to be something special, something spectacular. They have to hit almost everything perfectly, otherwise it's not going to make it. Because if you're going to come up with something, and you've got this fantastic idea for a setting, this incredible idea that everybody's going to love,
mm-hmm.
You have to be a visionary person. You have to have all these, you know, this skill in just, you know, crafting this perfect world. But then you also have to either know someone or be someone who can work the mechanics of, you know, the crunching the numbers to come up with a functional system to go with it. And that's where most people fail.
Yeah.
Because you can't tell me there are a lot of good systems out there. Most settings are great. It's the system that fails to support it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Palladium.
Well, yeah, the Palladium system is kind of the redheaded stepchild of role-playing. Because it sucks.
It takes 2 hours to make up a character. And even then.
It takes an hour to level up.
It's not a good system. For all the effort they put into it. They tried. They really did. But they couldn't get over this clunky, let's throw on as much bullshit as we can system.
It's very much a bad version of 2nd edition AD&D. Without Thaco, but with mega damage.
Well, and I don't mind the Mega Damage so much.
Oh, no, I liked Mega Damage as a concept.
It was just everything else. It's just too much. You couldn't figure a way to clean this up.
But even it is a multi-genre system they use in various games.
They did for the fantasy role-playing. They did it for Rifts. They did it for
Robotech, TMNT, all that. They didn't do it well. No. But their settings are nice.
Settings are fine.
If they would just write and use a different system, everything would be great. But I will say there's one game out there that... Well, actually, I came up with the second. Two. They're in the same genre. That use their own unique systems and have stood the test of time. Shadowrun and Cyberpunk.
Mm-hmm. We already talked about Cyberpunk on an earlier show.
Yeah.
With the life path and everything.
Yeah. But they haven't felt a need to go to one of these pre-built multi-genre systems. And that's great. I wish them luck. Maybe Cyberpunk will see a resurgence and Shadowrun 2 when, that video game Cyberpunk 2077 eventually comes out. You know, sometime later this decade. They keep pushing it back.
Yeah.
Might be 2019. Who knows? It'll just show up on shelves and I will buy it. Because, awesome. A video game actually set in Cyberpunk and done right. I would love that.
We hope.
Well, it's the people that did The Witcher, if I remember right.
Yeah.
So, they should do it right. Or at least do it well. Better than various Shadowrun games. But, again, digressing. Sorry. I just keep thinking about all these unique games that I loved from years past. Like Call of Cthulhu. Call of Cthulhu, great game. Wonderful. They took its system and now it is a multi-genre system. The basic system. Basically, yeah. They unified the rules and said, okay, this is what we're going to use for all Chaosium games now. And we're going to release it as a system on its own so people can put their own setting on this system.
But the mechanics behind the original Call of Cthulhu were not that great. I mean, yes, it was unique.
They're serviceable. They worked well for the game.
But it wasn't... It wasn't as fun to play. I mean, the setting's great. The mythos, you can't argue with, you know, Lovecraftian mythos. But it's still, the mechanics behind it were kind of detrimental to the game in itself.
There was a little bit too much number crunching and percentile based when you're going into combat really isn't so great.
No, and I understand that because, you know, it's really not a combat-oriented game.
No.
Because, I mean, you're not going to go up against...
Go insane, die.
Yeah. You're not going to run up against one of the big bads in the game and expect to come out of the combat in one piece.
No.
Usually you're just a bug under its shoe.
Yeah. Pretty much. We did that adventure.
I survived it. Shadows of Yogg-Sothoth?
Something like that. I can't remember the name of the module, but all I know is everyone died but you and one other person.
Yes, because I jumped in a whirligig and I flew the hell away.
Yeah.
And crashed.
But you survived. Cthulhu.
Yes, I spent 6 months in the insane asylum, too.
But you survived Cthulhu.
Yes, but now he runs a cattle ranch and slowly but surely bleeds the cattle for their pow. And storing it in this dagger. This really icky, nasty dagger.
POW, of course, being short for power in the game. He's collecting magical energy. For what use?
Nobody knows, because exactly. He retired as a character.
Yes.
He's going to come up as a villain one day, I'm sure of it.
We need to play that again. Anyway, You know, that was, again, one of my favorites, but it's gone multi-genre. You had, of course, I mentioned D&D. Basically, on a multi-genre system. And game after game after game. Even games like, where we fell for the Dresden Files.
Mm-hmm.
Last year. And really into that. What's it based on? The Fate system. Another popular multi-genre core system that you can put any setting on top of. And I'm not... the Fate system's good. It's not perfect. But it's better than most. But for me, the system wasn't... It was nice, but it was the setting that was more important there.
Yeah. Well, that's usually what most games are. People buy them and join them for the setting. The mechanics are secondary. If the mechanics are too much to get around, again, Palladium, it makes it no fun for the players and for the Game Master, because the Game Master has to enjoy it too.
Yeah.
And if you're too busy looking through rule books, trying to figure out the math behind an attack or whatever, people are going to tire of it too quickly. That's why a lot of people are going with these tried and true
systems.
Sets. Yeah.
Yeah.
OGL, for all its faults,
it just works.
It works, and it works fairly well.
And you can pick up any OGL game, and you'll go, yep, this is what it does. Here's these stats.
So whether it's Star Wars,
whatnot,
OGL, or it's, you know, whatever game you're playing. If it's OGL, you know what you're getting.
I still prefer Star
Wars. D6, I know.
D6, the West End Games, second edition. Which, again, multi-genre system, the D6 system. But, you know, actually you were talking about, you know, great settings, and if the system just doesn't work. This explains why Earth Dawn continues to fail time and again.
Mm-hmm.
Earth Dawn's a great game. Fantasy, horror, little bit of science fantasy to it, but it's mostly basically fantasy horror. Kind of Cthulian fantasy. How can you screw that up? You can't, at least not for, you know, Lovecraft fans and fantasy fans. It should be great. The system is so fucking lame, though. To cast magic takes an hour to figure out what exactly you're doing, unless you're like an expert on every single rule in the book.
Mm-hmm.
No! And then, you know, all these people popping up, no, it works this way. No, it works this way. I don't like it this way. My house rules. How can you run a cohesive game when the system is so contradictory and just, ugh?
Well, if you leave it open to discussion, you're having a problem. If there's not one clean translation of the rules, you're going to have trouble. And a lot of systems suffer from that.
Yeah. Well, again, that comes back to Rift, where you have, you know, the original book, and then the source books, and pretty much everything in each next source book gets consistently more and more and more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where they didn't actually put out Rift 2.0, but they put out a 20th anniversary edition that basically brought everything back in line.
Well, when it first started, there was the Glitter Boy.
Yes.
Which was the big gun. And you had this huge rail gun strapped to your power armor that when you fired it, it had like these suppression systems and these
you had
spikes
jets.
That shot down into the ground to keep you from moving, and jets on your back to keep you from flying backwards when it went off. Huge damage. I mean, it was just this monster. For a mile around when that gun went off, windows shattered. Kind of boom.
Yes.
And then by the time they got finished with one of their last source books, there was a rifle that did more damage than that, and it had no there was no penalties to using it. If you didn't have hearing suppressors or some kind of ear hearing protection when that gun went off, you were permanently deafened.
Uh-huh.
You know, in one of our games, one of the players jumped through the wooden roof of a bar and set off the gun in the middle of the bar.
And blew up the bar!
Most of the patrons from the boom of the gun, just the sonic effect, killed most of the patrons in the bar, and those who weren't killed were permanently deafened.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big bad gun, but it had a whole lot of things keeping it from being this, you know, where you could obliterate everything in sight with it.
It was kept in check because you had to plant, and if you didn't plant your spikes and whatnot, you couldn't fire the gun.
Yeah, well, no, you could.
You weren't going to hit anything with it.
So that you wouldn't have to do all these things, but it would end up sending you backwards, causing damage, and you would more than likely miss because of all the penalties that were thrown on top of it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and basically that was just damage creep. So, again, another problem with Palladium system.
Well, power gaming in general.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was the power gamer's wet dream. Player's nightmare, power gamer's wet dream.
Well, you know, I like the setting. It's a great setting. I still think that Joel Schumacher, I believe, and Walt Disney World, or Walt Disney Corporation, they bought the movie rights to Rift. They've never done anything with it, but they have the movie rights. It would make a fantastic film. It's never going to get done.
Yeah, but you're going to need a lot of exposition to lead up to the game or the movie coming out. You'd have to have something to introduce people to it.
Trump blows up the world. 200 years later, rifts are everywhere and there's dimensional beings everywhere and magic has come back because a quarter of the population got wiped off in a nuclear war. Okay, it sounds worse than it is. It's really a cool idea once you read it. But, yeah. Anyway. Thing is, I think we're already screwed from talking about this. I mean, sure, there's a few games, like I mentioned, like Shadowrun, Cyberpunk, and probably others.
I don't expect there's going to be a whole lot that are going to actually last.
Yeah, they're successful on their own. But everything else is going to go homogenous from now on.
And that's not a bad thing.
Isn't it?
No, I don't think so.
Doesn't it just remove the...
How many good systems are there to begin with? Of the independent systems you've seen, how many were actually good?
Cyberpunk? Kind of Shadowrun?
So, from that.
Whispering Vault.
I don't remember that one.
Whispering Vault's dead. But it was a great freaking game.
But from that, though. If the system cannot make the game popular.
Should the setting just go to a
should go to,
system should, that works?
Should go to a system that works. That way it actually will see the light of day. People will play it. Because if they're so used to playing OGL,
mm-hmm.
And, hey, let's do Call of Cthulhu OGL.
I have it.
Yes, I know, but I'm just saying.
Call of Cthulhu D20.
People want to play Call of Cthulhu, but they don't want to play it because of the system. If you have the OGL version, people will play it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a system they're familiar with.
Yeah. So what we're basically saying is, hey, Palladium, you need to put Rift out D20. Please. And thank you. I would buy every book again. If they put it out OGL.
Some of those books were just stupid.
Okay. Okay.
Really?
Well, they were giving you options. You didn't have to use all the books.
I know that, but There were so many just lame ideas. They were just cranking out for the money.
Yeah, but they did cover most of the world.
I do respect that they were trying to, you know, honor Native American traditions. I get that part. But, okay, you could do that. But do you really have to make a whole book out of it? Why couldn't you just do a book on cultures and cover a whole bunch of different cultures? Each one has their own little whatever that makes them special.
Because that's not what Palladium does.
I know. They're
they put
like
out
EA.
One book and bam, here's your book about Native American stuff. Here's your book about vampires. Here's your book about the Coalition. Here's
and
your
the
book
juicers,
about juicers.
And this,
actually,
and
they
this.
Had multiple juicer books.
Well, that's because juicers were overpowered.
Come on, I like my juicer.
Well, juicers are badass. I didn't say they were terrible. I said it's just, damn.
And they don't
they
last.
Had a lot of, no, they don't last. But, holy crap.
Yeah. But anyway.
Couldn't you make like an Atlantean juicer?
A nearly
immortal juicer?
Kind of. I thought in one of the Atlantis books they did have something like that, but it's been a while since I looked. I don't know. I'd have to break out my PDFs and look, because that's where I have most of my books now, is on PDF. But, because why buy a paper book? But that's a whole other topic. A topic for another day. Anyway, can we stretch this out any longer?
I don't think so.
Probably not. Anyway, so that's all I got. Till next time, I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Baylis.
And generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.